Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing Edith Seboula, and I probably mispronounced her name, the director of Rue Mandar, and I believe I have her on the line. Let me just check here. Okay, let's see if she comes on. Edith, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, and you? Thank you.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yeah.
Edith Seboula? Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Okay, so you are not in Paris today. You are actually in Miami for the Miami Jewish Film Festival, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, you have made a beautiful movie with Rue Mandar, and I want you to tell us a little bit about it for those that have not seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. You want me to tell now?
Yes. Tell a little bit about the plot. So
I have to introduce it myself. No, I prefer you ask me some questions and I can answer, because it's not so easy to speak about my like it's my child. So
yes. Yes, it's a beautiful baby.
Thank you very much. How can I tell you? 5 years ago, my mom passed away, and I was at her funeral with my brother and my sister, and it was like at the theater, because what happened at the beginning of the movie, at the funeral, it's exactly what happened to my sister. And I was the lady who brought her legs outside of the car. She was very ill, and she was very shaking herself because she was so emoted and emotional. And I was at the theater, and always after the funeral, when I spoke to my friends, when I told them what happened at the funeral, that I was like a spectator of my mom's funeral, like at the show. Everybody laughed and told me, you have to write about it, you have to write about it. And douleur. It was very painful for me. So I began to write a script with the beginning at the funeral, and after three main characters of a brother, sister, and a younger sister. And I wrote...
It evolved from there.
And after, mm-hmm. In France, I like to tell it like a delicate comedy about a funeral.
Yes. Yeah, it's an amazing mix of comedy and drama. I laughed mm-hmm. so hard in the beginning, and then I was crying at the end, you know, during the first parts in the movie. It was beautiful.
Happy telling me that, because it was
yes.
a goal to teach the soul and the heart of people, of the audience,
to touch
people in the soul, in the heart, before touching them in the brain, you know?
Yes.
So it's my...
And the way that you did it made you really feel for the characters and made you feel a part of this dysfunctional family and what was going on. And now, how did you fabricate that? How did you bring that together to bring those moments of comedy and then drama? Did it come naturally, or was it written in the script? How did that come about?
It's written in the script, and it's like life, you know. You can laugh and cry almost at the same time. So I am like that in my life. I like to cry. I like to laugh, and everything around me is like I can see a show in every moment of the life, because I'm watching it, and as I watch it, I can laugh even if it's dramatic. So when I wrote it with my co-writer Emmanuel Michelet, we wanted to make it as real as the real life, as we are laughing, crying in the same moment for each. Each moment is in the life, you know, each particular moment in the life. And it's like writing also a music partition Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
a sheet of music.
A sheet of music? Okay, like a sheet of music, because it's a question of rhythm, and
yes,
like a magician.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
and
if it sounds, if we were crying, my co-writer and me, if we were crying, it was okay. Together, if we were crying together, it was okay. If we were laughing together, it was okay. So we wrote. We wrote it like music.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed like some of the scenes were very claustrophobic. A lot of scenes were shot that way, and I thought it was so interesting, the cinematography, when they were at the dinner table or when the guy was trying to bring something down the stairs and everybody's hassling him, or in the car. Were you thinking that way, that you wanted to have that feeling of claustrophobia and a lot going on in each scene?
This is how I live. I grew up in a small apartment in Paris at the Rue Mandar. The 13 of the Rue Mandar is a real address. And I grew up in a small apartment of Jewish immigrants. We were spoken only Yiddish and Polish between them. So I grew in a shtetl, in the middle of Paris, but in a shtetl. And every space was small. So I always see the life like I saw it when I was a child, in a small space. And my first movie was telling the same. And everybody told me, why do you watch the life in a small space? Because I grew up in a small in a space. That's why.
It added so much to the feeling of being a part of this family and what it must have been like in this, you know, claustrophobia feeling. It was so great. I loved it.
I loved it, Judy. I loved being there.
I loved being in the proximity. And I didn't, how can I say, I don't judge them. I was living like that. And I loved it, the warm family,
yes.
The warmness of this family. I loved it, and I love it. And I always, I am always searching for it, to have proximity with people, and to the warmness is essential to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I love small spaces. And my husband says to me always that I love small spaces because I was as a child. As a child, cocooned in small spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
and that can add to the drama because you're so close. It can be easy to explode when you can't get away, and that's why a lot of the characters go running or they go for a walk and they have to get away.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true because it was the only space of freedom for the husband to be outside
mm-hmm.
and to run to understand what happens.
Yes. It was so interesting the way that you crafted the movie. It was great. I loved it.
Thank you.
tell me about the locations. Was it easy to get locations, or did you own some of the locations?
Yeah, you know, there is a, comment dire, métier, a job. There's a job for when you make movies. There's someone whose job is to find some locations. So I gave the directions. I gave her the direction of what I wanted, and she found me three apartments, and it was amazing because she understood what I had in my mind, and we found very easily our apartments.
But the facade.
Oh, good. We shot in the other apartment, but the facade is the facade of my parents where I grew up.
Okay.
Really.
Great.
In Paris.
What was it like going back there and shooting at that location? Was it difficult
I was very proud, very touched, and I wanted my parents who are not here anymore, but I had, comment dire, j'espérais. I was wishing that they filmed me,
yeah.
Wherever they are, they could see me
mm-hmm.
shooting this movie in the Rue Mandar Street. Because I often
mm-hmm.
go there, and And so I was very proud to be there for the movie, not only for the live, for the movie with a big equipe, come on, a big team, and to shop downstairs where I always lived.
Yeah. Do you live near there now?
No. Now it's one of my son is living there. My husband rebuilt totally the apartment. He crashed everything and he rebuilt a new. He renovated all. One of my son is living there with his wife. So, how we say in France, la boucle est bouclée, which means in English. The boucle, you know, the circle is closed.
Was it difficult when he remodeled? Kind of like in the movie.
No, what was difficult for me? It when my husband showed me the section. He wanted to show me by pictures, and it was a very unique moment for me, very intimate. It's the first time maybe I say it for an audience. Because he showed to me pictures, and I said to him, "No, I don't want to show them, to see them." But he showed me, and I let him for a while, and I went to my room. J'ai éteint les lumières, comme on dit. I turned the light off. I put off my shoes. I put off my glasses, and je me suis jetée, comme on dit. And threw myself on my bed, and I cried a lot.
Yeah.
I cried like an animal. And I came back, and it was finished. And I accept the fact that there is no more my young life testimony. You understand?
Yeah, that was very interesting in the movie when the brother wanted to remodel and the wife didn't want him to remodel.
Yes, because my husband is like
an interesting element.
My family is a big source of inspiration, you know. My sister is not a psychiatrist because always in the Q&A they often ask me, "Is your sister a psychiatrist?" No, she isn't. But I love to have fun with this character because I was laying maybe long years and always wondering, what is my psychiatrist doing in my back? Is she writing? Is she drawing? Is she sleeping? And it was the opportunity to make fun of this. And what I wanted also to transmit is that she's, before being a psychiatrist, she's a woman and she's a mom and she's a human being who suffers also. For living out of the cocoon, and I'm also the youngest of the siblings, but I don't live in Israel, and it's a real feature film. It's not it's semi autobiographic. Well, autobiographical.
The synagogue in the beginning was very interesting. Do you go to that synagogue?
If I go to the synagogue, no.
Yeah.
I am like a traditional Jew. I'm going only from time to time to for Kippur, and that's all. No, even for no. That's why I wanted to make a family who doesn't know the rituals, even the funeral rituals.
Yeah.
Because at my mom's funeral, I was the lady who asked the rabbi in which direction they have to turn around the coffin, because it was a new tradition that I didn't know, and I was so surprised and so touched by the loss of my mom that I was asking like an obsession in which direction we have to turn. And when I remembered this, when I was writing, I said to myself, I have to put it, because it was like a mess, you know. Everyone was turning in the wrong direction. And it was like that,
so
really.
Funny.
It was really like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know
that tradition either.
I don't know this tradition also. And what happened also is my sister was under the garbage bag, like in the movie. She was really so ill that my sister-in-law was running to a garbage bag. She threw everything that was inside, and she put it all over on my sister's corpse, body. And
over her
I
head,
was amazing. I was looking at the show like in a circus. So that's why I wanted to begin my movie like that, with a funeral not normal in a crazy family.
Yeah.
Like my family
hilarious.
Is all crazy. So I hope that the audience will enjoy it and will be touched like you were touched, and a lot of people were touched until now. I am very happy to share my soul, you know, my heart, my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions.
The synagogue was really interesting. It looked like an igloo, like in Alaska or something, or in the
yes.
Arctic igloo.
I wanted to make it like inside, but it wasn't a synagogue. It was a funerarium, and I chose it especially because it was like an igloo. It was improbable. Comment on dit?
Improbable.
Improbable. We have never
yes.
saw a funerarium like that, like an igloo. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Mm. So that's why
How long did it take you to shoot?
I shot it like that, inside this.
How long
you
did it take
what?
You to do the shoot? How long did it take you to shoot?
All the movie?
Uh-huh.
6 weeks. It's very short. It's very,
wow.
very short. 6 weeks, and I had to run a lot. And to work a lot, but I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
There is not enough time to make a movie. It's hard to make a movie, but I've done it. I'm very proud because in the time
yes.
that it was possible, I made all of my possible to make the best movie in a short time, because 6 weeks is very short to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But
what was the most challenging part of doing the movie?
Doing it.
Everything.
It. Writing it. Writing a script for me is the most critical part, because I have to extract like germs, you know? I'm going to extract germs from my heart, from my own hearse,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'm looking very deep in my soul to try to extract the best germs. You understand?
Yes. And you also acted in the film, right?
Yeah, I had a very, very little part, a very symbolic
mm-hmm.
character, which, who is the notaire, comment,
the will, right?
Notary public, because she meets from the mother to the children what they had in common, what the mother gave to them. So
mm-hmm.
to be the transmission woman, I loved it, to make this
mm-hmm.
small character.
Was it difficult,
and it was the
acting
first day of
and directing?
Shooting. Pardon?
Sorry.
It was the first of my shooting, and I was scared because... You know, when you make a movie, you make it because you have to shot in a set. So it was the first day, because we had only this day, this location. So it was the first day for me, and I was scared to be the director and acting. But I hope that the next one I will be acting more than this.
Yeah, you've done acting in a lot of other films, too, which we're going to talk about in a second, but I want to keep talking about this film first.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your other actors, because they were so great. How did you find them?
With Emmanuel DeVos, I made all my movies. I made two short movies and two long features. So she's my alter ego. I don't know how...
Alter ego.
She's my alter mm-hmm. ego. Sandrine Kiberlin... is a woman that I know from a long time. We were at the theater school together. And she's very famous in France, like Emmanuel De Vos. And Richard Berry, who plays the brother, is a very famous known actor in France. He was at the Comédie Française, which is the best theater in France, and he's very known as a movie actor also. And he plays also in theater now, and he's also a movie director and an actor. He's a very big artist also. And the man who plays the uncle who can't make the prayer at the end, during Rosh Hashanah's dinner, he's a very famous singer in France, very popular singer. And I met also all my movies with my four movies with them. It's Michel Jonas, it's his name, Michel Jonas. And Lionel Abelansky, who plays Emmanuel De Vos' husband, also plays in all my movies. And I like to play like in a theater troupe, because I was before an actress and I was in the theater troupe. So I like to work with comedians as a theater troupe. And they had a lot of fun together. And I was like a teacher sometimes to remind them that they are not at school and not at the summer camp, but on the stage, and they have to work also, because they had a lot of fun together. Because it was, even if it was sad story, they were very happy to be together, because all the three characters, the main three characters, are very famous, very known in France. And also Emmanuel Berco, who plays Richard Berry's wife, she's a very known and famous movie director in France, and she doesn't act so many times. So it was I was very honored that she accept to play in my movie, because she loved the script and she loved to be with Richard Berry, Emmanuel De Vos, Sandrine Kiberlin, Michel Jonas, everyone. So I was so proud to have them. And also, maybe she is not known in the United States, but Micheline Prel, who plays the old aunt who is at the Rosh Hashanah and the funerarium also, she's very known. She's a French icon, like Michel Morgan. Her name is Micheline Prel, and she was a very known actress in the 40 years, the 40, 50, 60 years. She was very known, and she's an icon. And I was very proud also to have her at my table, at the Rosh Hashanah table, for this crazy dinner.
Now, were your actors Jewish? Did they know anything about any Jewish traditions themselves?
Sandrine Kiberlin is Jew. Lionel Abelansky is a Jew. Michel Jonas, a Jewish. Richard Berry is also Jewish, but the other part, they are known. Emmanuel De Vos was married to a Jewish guy, so she knows the tradition. But no.
Are you very hands-on as a director, or do you just let them, stand back and let them act?
No, everything was written. So, they are all huge actors. So they had, they know what they have to do. And I was directing them, because I was, as you have the good cast, you have to make sure that they are together well, and to make all, it's a miracle. Yeah, making a movie, it's a miracle. Playing each scene, it's a miracle. So each scene was to find the magic moment and the miracle of the moment. And each time it was a challenge. Each day, each hour, it was a challenge to find this magical moment. But as they are huge comedians, it was not, I can't say it was easy, but it was a pleasure, a great pleasure to offer them these characters. They were very happy to play them, these characters, and happy to play together. So it was not easy. It was a pleasure and a miracle to get this to get this pleasure and to get the best of each character, of each comedian. I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this. But everything was written. And when they said what was written, they could propose, of course, something else.
Mm-hmm. Did they improv a little bit?
If they what?
Did they have some improvisation?
Sometimes, but not so often, you know. Everything was written. That's why it's a difficult exercise for me, because I have to think about everything, everyone, every reaction, everything during the writing of the script. And they, mm-hmm. comment dit, incarner, they incarnate, and they
uh-huh.
incarnated so well.
Yes. Now, I know the movie is showing on Monday at Regal Cinemas as part of the Miami Jewish Film Festival, but it's sold out. Well, when else is
mm-hmm.
it showing? How can people see the movie?
I think it's playing at 8. I don't remember. I think it's at 8 a.m.
P.m.
I'm sorry, 8 p.m. Always.
I think it's sold out.
I think it's sold out. It is sold out.
Yeah.
It was sold out in New York. It was sold out in Boston. It was sold out everywhere. So I'm very
right.
happy. But
yes.
I wish I can come back in Chicago or wherever else. Wherever they will call me, I will be. I will come. I make a special announce. Please call me in the United States. Like that, I can share my movie again and again because I love it. I love it.
Is it going to be showing at other film festivals or will it be distributed?
It has been in Montreal, it has been in Vienna, it has been in San Francisco, it has been in France, a lot of festivals. It has been in Boston, so in New York, where I was 2 days ago. And now, and it was also in London and in Paris, of course. And I would like to go on with the festival. But for the moment, I don't know where is going the film.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Will it be out on video? Will people be able to buy it?
Yeah. They are buying it. And now in France, it's on Canal Plus. It's a special movie channel. And they are, and now from December to February, they can watch it on the TV channel Canal Plus. So a lot of people are watching it and buying on Amazon also if they want the DVD.
Oh, great.
So it's a second life, you know.
Yes.
It's second life.
Wonderful.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, you've done other movies before this. Was there anything that you learned from your experience with some of your other films that changed the way that you did this one?
I am very, very, talented to make long movies in a short time. That I know. That's the thing I know. Because my first short movie, which name is A Table, which won an award in Cannes Festival in 1998,
yes.
I shot, it's a long movie, but it's in a short time. It makes 20 minutes, and I shot it in 4.5 days. And it was my first movie, and everybody told me, 4.5 days to make this movie? It's incredible. So I believe I am the champion of making movies in a very short time. So I learned it about it, making movies. But I would like for the next to have more time like that I can... You know, sometimes you come in a location and you see some trees, some flowers, some birds, some a sky, and you want to shot something else than your comedians. So I'd like to have the time
mm-hmm.
to come to look around me and to tell to my team, please, I want to take the time to shot this and this and this, that I didn't have it now for the moment, never. So...
Mm-hmm.
I learned this, that I have, I will struggle to have more time.
Yes.
More money.
And how did you get started in the film industry? I know you were in the movie Blue. Tell me a little bit about that.
I was at school, at the theater school, and after I began to make theater in a troupe, some advertising, some television movies also, and after some feature movies, and voila, and like that I began to work and to work and to learn my movie directing, looking at the other one working. And I didn't know at this time that my real job will be directing and will be writing. At this time I was just an actress, a frustrated actress, because I didn't have the good roles to express myself. And when I began to write what I wanted to transmit, I could express what I wanted to transmit, and as a matter of fact, it was a first short movie à table, and it went to Cannes. It was the first festival. At the end of when I finished my movie, it was selected to Cannes, and I won a prize at Cannes. And I said to myself, okay, maybe it's my place. Maybe it's my place, and I think it's my place. I hope it's my place.
To direct.
To write, make other movies.
So you like writing and directing better?
Yeah, because it's more complete. And I have my own universe, and I want to tell to people what is my universe, how I see the life. If they want to share with me, I want to share with them what I see of the life, what I think, what I feel, or my feelings. They are better transmitted as a movie director than like an actress. It's too short, too small for me. It's a feeling that I have. It's too small. But I like to act. But
yes.
since I'm making movies, I enjoy people that doesn't think about me as an actress more than a movie director now. But I would like to act more, because it's like a recreation for me. It's so easier
uh-huh.
to be an actress than you are paid to be dressed, to be made up, and to have fun with other comedians. I would like to do it again.
Are you working on another film? Are you writing something now, something else?
Yes, I'm trying to write, because as I told you, it's painful for me to write.
Yes.
Because it's a huge, you know, I'm like a sculptor. I'm taking a marble block and I begin to sculpt, and I see, what I have to sculpt. Encore, comment dit, still to sculpt. To chisel. I have so much to get to the goal, to get to what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope.
What is your next film about? Do you know?
Yeah, it's about feminine friendship. No, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Much more.
Yeah, can I say? Women friendship.
Uh-huh.
And about, you know, I'm now 50 years old, and there is a lot of new thoughts when you get 50 and plus. And I think there is if I don't say it, who will do it? So
yes.
It's about friendship. From five women who are all of the same age, and what they share together from the childhood to now. I'm trying to write about this.
Great. Now, how do people find out about you and your movies? Do you have a website?
No, I don't have a website. Maybe it would be better to have one, but I don't have.
Okay.
Wikipedia? I don't know. Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, you're on IMDb.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yes. So they can find you through that. And are you on Facebook or anything else that you want
yes,
to?
Yes, I am on Facebook.
Well, okay.
It's just fun to. It's a semi-professional because when Rumandard mm-hmm. on the French screens, I try to make a little buzz with my Facebook about Rumandard, of course.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we're running out of time, but
mm-hmm.
merci beaucoup for coming on the
merci.
Show today.
Merci beaucoup, Rachel.
Merci. Thank you so much. I really thoroughly enjoyed your movie, and I'm so happy that you came on the show today. And
yeah.
Bonne chance.
Oh, thank you, Rachel. Thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you to your translator back there. I can hear her.
Thank you. She hears
Isabel.
You.
Hi.
Isabel, yeah.
And
thank you,
next
too.
Next time, you know, keep in touch with me, because when you do your next film, I want to bring you on again.
Oh, with pleasure. I
okay.
hope I will be soon.
Yes.
Take care, Rachel.
Okay,
bye, Rachel.
Take care. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was a wonderful conversation with Edith Seboula about Rumandard. If you have not seen this film, you need to go see this film. Even if you're not Jewish, it's a hilarious film. It's so funny. And like I said, it really touches your heart because it's about these brother and two sisters that are at their mother's funeral, and it just accentuates the dysfunction in the family. But at the same time, there's so much love underneath it all, and they're in these cramped situations, and they're shouting at each other, and the next moment they're hugging each other and loving each other, and it's a beautiful, beautiful film. I highly suggest checking it out. Some of the situations are so ridiculous, and it's funny to hear that they're actually happened. I can't believe it. So check that out. Rumandard is at Amazon.com, she said. And hopefully she'll keep in touch with me, and the next film she will come back for more, because I love just hearing her speak with her French accent. But, okay, guys, well, as you know, I was at a little bit of a hiatus over the holidays, and the show is back. And I will be back next week with Michael Dugan, a local writer and director who has done a couple of different films, and we're going to be talking about that. And also he's involved often with the Palm Beach International Film Festival, which is coming not that long from now, and we'll be talking about that, and we'll see what else we'll discuss as well. And there's a lot going on. The like I said before, the Miami Jewish Film Festival is going on right now, and her film is unfortunately sold out. It's at Regal Cinema on Monday, and it's sold out, but like she said, you can get it on Amazon. But check out some of the other great films that are at the Miami Jewish Film Festival, which runs through February 3rd, and if you just type in MiamiJewishFilmFestival.net, you can get the whole schedule. And there's also some festivals that you might have missed that just happened, including the Miami Sci-Fi Film Festival, the Science Fiction Film Festival. It was their first year, run by Troy Bernier and Eric Swain, who I've interviewed on this show, and they had a great films. I had a chance to see a couple of them, and wonderful films that they had, and they honored Dean Lyon, who has also been on my show, with a Lifetime Achievement Award. He's a visual effects artist who's done films like Lord of the Rings. And also the National Association of Television Program Executives, NATPE, is coming up on January 27th through 29th in Miami, and you can just Google that and find out more about that as well. Lots of things coming up, and also, as always, guys, you can listen to my archives. I have over 80 interviews that I've done throughout the last 2 years. You can listen to some of the other great filmmakers that I've had a chance to speak with. And if you're a filmmaker out there and you'd like to come on the show, please feel free to email me. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods@yahoo.com. And I would be happy to look at whatever you have to offer and see if I can bring you on the show. Also, please check out my Facebook, which is Indie Streak, just like the show. And I post things about not only the show, but also some local events here in Florida. This is an international show, but I do, since I live in Florida, I do a lot of Florida-based stuff on there. So check that out. But keep in touch with me, guys, and I will be back next week for more. So thank you so much. Bye-bye.